Odyssey Sports Station. It's time for the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted, A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown Atlanta.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Here's the latest from Indianapolis, and I think this is a big one. And I just said to Mike, I don't know how he can't be cleared. But after practice today, Michael Penix was asked about when are you going to talk to your doctor? And his response was, today. He's hoping to be cleared, but he will not question the doctor's decision. Meaning if the doc says, nah, you need a couple more weeks, he can't just say to hell with this, I'm playing. I want to be out there 11-on-11. I'm ready to go. Even if his mind is there medically, and the staff won't allow that either.
Right.
But, Mike, how could he not be cleared?
Well, again, we're not doctors. We're certainly not orthopedists. But he's looked really good. And we've talked about even this going back like 2 weeks ago, where we've seen him doing what it's part of his, you know, his rehab, presumably is to, when he's not throwing footballs, to sprint, and he looks great. I mean, you saw some of the footwork on some of the videos, albeit on 7-on-7 drills from Indy. But yeah, D-Led had it about Michael Penix Jr. talking to his doctor today, hoping to be cleared. And Mark Grimondi, Carl, went and did the math with the calendar from ESPN, said back on July 29th that he would be cleared in 4 weeks. 4 weeks from that date would be next Wednesday.
So D-Led said to us in our interview, if you missed it earlier today, it's online at odyssey.com, that his date was August 25th. That'd be 9 months from the injury. Either way, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's next week.
Right.
And the bottom line for us is, if you feel like that's enough time, and this is where we've been kind of talking about, okay, there's still time to figure this out if you still want to consider the competition. If he gets cleared, just follow me. Not only does he play next week, he plays significant series, Mike, maybe two or more. You get a chance to evaluate. He's back to 11-on-11. And then you got 2 more weeks. Right. That's next week's preseason game. And you got 2 more weeks before the real season starts. I think that's enough time to say Michael Penix could start the season. But I do think it all depends on this timeline with the doctor today saying yay or nay.
Right. And as we know, Michael said, you heard the comments first from him himself to us in the press conference and then doing the podcast with Cam Newton about, like, don't press yourself and I'm not going to be able to do this till I feel 100%. But how do you feel 100% till you're out there taking some contact? Like Patrick Mahomes talked about it. You know, he needed to get out there and get some contact. He wanted to play preseason. Either way, it's some good news because, look, I'm sorry. All we get is, like, drips and drabs of video. One play doesn't tell the whole story. But that video that came out from yesterday's practice was just god-awful. With Tua, I mean, it's a scrimmage, and you're not a rookie. You know, that's something I expect from Cam Ward last year for Tennessee, Carl. You know how Tua looked yesterday.
Yeah.
And you could literally play, you know, like the Benny Hill theme or, you know, some cartoon music while he was running around and just eventually just throwing the ball into somebody's leg looked terrible.
Well, the good news is he looked significantly better according to reports today. The good news is Penix threw a pick today, but he also threw a touchdown in 7-on-7. Take it in stride, man. And again, I'm hoping that he gets cleared so we can get resolution. That's what we want as fans. We will not get that until he gets cleared. And even then, we may not get it until week 4 or 5, right? And you say, well, when you say resolution, I'm talking about who's the guy? I've been saying this. I do not want to go into this season rotating quarterbacks. Guy plays for three weeks. Then you play another guy for 2 weeks, then another guy. That's just not a recipe.
Right. Remember that? We saw that with Ritter. They pulled Ritter, then Heinicke eventually got it, and eventually back to Ritter. That's, as John Madden famously said, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. We've always said the best thing for this franchise is to at least know what the baseline is for once and for all with Michael Penix Jr. Is this the guy you're building it on, or are you moving on? You're going to draft a quarterback next year. And the only way that starts is by him getting out there. And I think Tua, if Tua's struggled with some of these things, I mean, that's on him. You know, if he's been, we always felt that he had the high road. He was on the high ground, I should say. And you got a great opportunity to reinvent yourself if you're Tua by really balling out. And we've always felt if he did do that, then maybe Mike wouldn't have a chance to get on the field. But right now, I think after what we're seeing from Tua, what we're hearing, I just want to see Michael Penix Jr. cleared. This quarterback battle has not been a battle, Carl.
No.
There's been nothing about this that's been a quarterback battle.
Mike, it's been, to be honest, it's been shenanigans.
Right.
It really has.
Not even a skirmish, as we said on social media.
It's not been anything that you could really have solid footing on. But for me, I am just over every day trying to tell people he did this, he did that, and then the Penix people go nuts, and then the Tua people who don't like Tua go crazy. That's why I wanted it resolved on the field. That's what this was really all right. about. Performance is what it's about, right? Who outperforms who? And even with you say, okay, well, he did this in 7-on-7 and he did this in 11-on-11, I still want to see him in the preseason game. And we may get that opportunity in the third preseason game. All right. With that said, more coming out today, second day of practice. So, look, they got two good days. Tomorrow won't be like these last 2 days. They'll get their bodies ready. The guys that are going to play for Saturday and then these guys will get, you know, we're talking about the starters, we'll get somewhat of a rest. But I'm actually, and it's rare, I can't even remember, Mike, when I was looking forward to the third preseason game of any preseason. Because I actually am looking forward to next week. It'll be Friday. Right. And seeing if all of this actually plays out. And then you can make a judgment.
Right. Now, the other debate is when you do 11-on-11 in your own practice in facility at Flowery Branch, and you got Mike Vick and a real baseline. And then you can see, okay, here's Tua. Now, you know, and then there's Penix. And then how do they look? And who's making the plays? And who's showing this coaching staff they understand what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
But then the other part is, has Michael been able to – we've only seen – you know, we haven't really seen him doing a lot of play action because we've only seen him really doing the seven – you know, the seven-on-seven
Correct.
Throws. But
Which is mostly a shotgun.
Right. Things we haven't seen. You know, Michael Penix under center. The footwork, which seemed to be an issue last year. I mean, the way the plays – I said to you earlier, it just looked like so slow how those play act – even in the pistol, it would be like, oh, man, you got a rookie quarterback with his back to the field for almost a full half second or whatever. It just looked awkward. So hopefully he's going to get the coaching. But, yeah, man, give me some as a fan. Because all that stuff I said earlier this week about a gap year, if I know that Michael Penix Jr. is starting from the jump and we're not going to do the multiple quarterback thing, that changes my perception a little bit.
Could still be a gap year, though.
Well, you still got a lot of problems on defense. Yes, you're missing a lot of pieces on defense. And everyone just goes, yes, Penix grasped this offense and away we go. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, guys. You think we want to go 9 years without the freaking playoffs? But, I mean, he's got to do that. First things first, though, is this milestone with the doctors.
All right. As far as why the offense has looked not as crisp, it's something that I'm curious about. And I said, is this Tommy Rees? Is it play calling? These check downs? We got to stretch the field, man. And that's something, whether it's Penix or Tua. And again, we weren't there today to visually see a lot of this. But when you say the offense looks better, that means completions. That means moving the ball, right? There's more fluidity to it. But that's something that concerned me a little bit, Mike, because you go from the first preseason game where you looked as bad as you did. Then you get to that first practice yesterday and it didn't look good as a whole. I'm talking about the offensive unit.
Right.
That's something I wanted them to respond to today, and I think they did.
And for guys hitting us up in the text line, well, what do you care about a scrimmage? Because you're not going to see these guys Saturday. Mm-mm. This is all we got to go on. And sometimes the coaches feel they get more out of this than they actually will in the preseason game. Controlled environment for what they're trying to do at 11-on-11. We, as Coach said earlier week, we'll be good guests. I guess there's no brawls from what we heard.
No.
Unless the NFL dropped the hammer and said, guys, stop with the monkey business after what happened out there with the Cowboys and everybody else. Daniel Flick, you know, as you said, talking about, he'll be on a show tomorrow, right, Day-Day, from AJC? Is that a Big Ten for? Okay. Either way, he's up there at practice to tell us what he saw about it. And then you've got Daniel Flick saying, and I mentioned this to you earlier, I just saw this as a blurb in the NFL Network, that Trey Sermon apparently got injured, is now on the IR. So a young man who's kind of bounced around the league and, you know, had such high hopes, first in Ohio State, then Oklahoma, local kid. So the good news is he'll get a settlement, but unfortunately he's not going to be able to play this year.
Yeah, and that sucks simply because he was in here, getting extra reps with Brian Robinson. You can never have enough running backs. Like, that's just what it is. I don't want to run Bijan into the ground, but you need other guys. And I thought that was a nice little pickup, but unfortunately he's not going to be able to help. The deal that where we're at right now, and what I think Falcon fans need to understand, is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's going to talk to his doctor. We're talking about Penix, but it doesn't mean he's going to get cleared. But at least we have a date, and we didn't have that weeks ago. We asked Michael Penix at camp, hey, when's your next doctor's appointment? I don't know.
He said that, his own words. That's what everybody, literally, Data, you were there. Everybody in the media room were like, what?
So
really?
It doesn't mean he's going to get cleared.
But
it's a checkpoint.
I just really want Michael Penix Jr. to show us what we got, one way or the other. See how he evolves in this offense from the jump with real professional coaching. Not that Zach Robinson clown show last year.
Yeah.
Where guys are getting, oh, maybe I should be on the sideline. Maybe I shouldn't be in the booth. And then, you know, your passing game coordinator gets fired. You know, I mean, it really was dysfunction. And that's why I feel bad that Mike, you know, lost – 2 years of getting better coaching, to be having better prepared for this moment.
The coaching helps. Him being healthy helps even more. And that's the part that no coach can fix. These two seasons that have been lost, Mike, due to injury since he's become a pro, look, he could have had Vince Lombardi. It wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
You got to be out there. And so we'll see how that all shakes out. I'm sure we'll hear some news tomorrow, hopefully out of Indy, maybe tonight, about that. But when it's all said and done, I think this opens the door to that window we've been talking about where you say, okay, how long until we start the season? And is that enough time to do a real evaluation, play him in the preseason, the third preseason game, and feel good about this? And then we go from the jump. We start the season with the guy that you thought you were going to start the season with, because when this injury happened, we said, oh, he'll be ready for next year. And then as we went through the offseason, it was, well, he might not be ready for camp. He might not be ready for OTAs. Even though he was there, he wasn't a full go.
Hey, man, how about this? Day-Day, Oren, Carl, if he is named week one starter at Pittsburgh, we all wear do-rags on the show?
Well, I wear a do-rag every night, so that doesn't matter.
Well, can you lend me one?
Yeah, I got too much hair for a do-rag.
My curls are already tight, so I'm good to go,
all right,
man.
Fine.
But yeah. But I hear you.
Might be my new style. I'll get thin in the back again.
In support him doing well, because that's what this is all about, man. And that's the part where I just, Mike, I'm fed up to hear with the whole criticism of both guys. Either way, we got to figure this out. We got to figure it out, you know? And the part of this is you're seeing bad performances, like the first preseason game. It just gave you no reason to believe that there was promise at the end of the run. Like, where is this going?
And for guys and ladies who missed the beginning of the show, we talked about, Brandon Dorlus was quoted, I think Josh Kendall had it, as saying, yeah, we were embarrassed. They were all embarrassed. They looked at the tape because, remember, it wasn't like your full, like, regular starting 11. There were guys that were backups. There were some guys that didn't play the whole game. Obviously, it was just a series for some. But they were embarrassed. So that did matter. So the defense apparently did a great job against the run yesterday, and maybe today a better job against the pass, against Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Let's hope so, man. All right. More on that coming up. But we got to talk about the Braves, who actually got it today. They put it together offensively. They got a good pitching performance from Grant Holmes. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about it.